No, I will not be singing a special. There you go. Yeah. Y'all made it. Y'all made it through the snow. Good for you. Good for you. How many of y'all grew up and there was a moment in your life, in your childhood, you said, well, I think I'm just going to run away from home. How many of y'all planned to run away from home before? Come on, let's lift them up, because I know there's a lot of people that feel like running away from home. Yeah. Yes, and I don't know. I'm not going to ask how many of y'all really did it, but I know that many of us have thought about running away from home because we just thought our home was just too hard, or that our parents made us do too much work around the house. Maybe, I don't know what it was. But anyway, some of us have thought about running away before. And today I want to share with you that sometimes even God's people run away. You would think that God's people don't run away, but sometimes God's people do run away. And so today that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a guy named Jonah who is a prophet. He is a prophet. The Bible talks about him in the book of Jonah where we're going to be today, but also talks about him in 2 Kings. There's a piece in there that we know that he was a prophet during that time and that era. And many of the theologians believe that this moment that we're going to talk about here and the piece that was in 2 Kings, because 2 Kings, he gave a prophetic piece to the king about the land and it came to pass. And so just a little small piece there about him. But it does show that he was a prophet. And so with this piece that Jonah being a prophet here, God has used him. God is using him, but many believe that this story of Jonah is even before the 2 Kings moment that we do read. So Jonah has been busy serving the Lord as a prophet. And we're going to read today here a little bit about this life of Jonah here. And so as we go to Jonah chapter 1, I want to pray before we begin. Father, Lord, we just ask for your presence today to sit with us, to be with us, and to move upon our hearts in a way and just... May you move and speak to us through your Spirit, that we may walk out stronger than we were when we came in. So give us understanding of your words today, and give us ears to hear your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. So here what we find out in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. So here we find that Jonah hears the word of God. God speaks to him. But Nineveh was an evil city. It was an evil city, and it came up before God. It kind of reminds you of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of evil was going on there. These Ninevites, they worshiped the fish god Dagon. They also worshiped the god of Molech. Now, Molech was a very... People worshipped this Molech, and how they worshipped Molech was that they would just put their children, their babies and children, into a fire and worship this god. And so they're very, very violent people. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which would be Iraq today. So they were just a violent people, and Nineveh was over 120,000 lost evil people, and they were enemies of Israel. Israel and them, they would go to war from time to time, back and forth. But here it is. God has chosen Jonah to go in and preach a message. And I want to remind you that God still chooses us to do certain things too. Maybe not as big as going into a place like Nineveh, but God still calls us to do things. And sometimes they can feel scary on what God's called us to do. But then we go to verse 3. This is what we see. Verse 3. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. So here's what we're seeing here, that Jonah is struggling here. Jonah decides to get up and run away. Now, he's not talking about doing it. He just does it. He slips out. He does this thing. And people today are finding ways to run away as well today. It may not be Tarshish, but we're running to things. We're running away from God, trying to run away from his presence. This is what we see here, that Jonah is running away from God's presence. And when you run away from God's presence, I'm going to tell you, you're running away from protection. You're running away from God's blessings. You're running away from all that God is, all is a part of. You're just running away. And you're running away. And you think that we have this plan, that Jonah thinks he's got a plan that's going to be better than doing what God has called him to do. And Christians are struggling with this today. We don't want to listen to what God has called us to do. Sometimes it is to step into a ministry. Sometimes it is to sit there and work on your marriage. Sometimes it's to sit there and listen to your parents when you don't feel like you want to. And we want to run away from what God has for us. God convicts our heart to give financially, whether it's tithes, offerings, or help someone. And we refuse to do it, and we won't do it. And what happens is basically we are running away from what God has called us to do. Why do you think that? Why is there 500 churches that are 500 churches in Alabama, 400 I think in Mississippi, that they don't have pastors? Those churches have no more pastors. If anybody wanted to be a pastor now, I feel you got to be called to be a pastor. But I'm just saying, there's all these open spots just in two states. Men are not picking it up. They're not picking up the task that God's called them to do. And so I think there's a lot of people that are running away from God. A lot of people are running away from God. A lot of men are running away from the call on God's life. A lot of women are running away from the call on their life. A lot of young people are running away from the call that God has on their life. And all of it is to do our own thing. To do our own thing. So Jonah decides he's going to take off. That's what he's doing. Jonah makes a plan. He has planned a escape route. Now I want to remind you that you can't run from God. We think we can, but you can't. You can't run from the presence of God. God knows always where you are. But he has set out a plan. He is heading toward Joppa. He found a ship. He goes in there. He even pays the fare. He pays the fare. He does what he needs to do. He goes down to the bottom of the ship and he just hides. But God knows where he is, doesn't he? God knows where he is. God knows where he is. God knows your name. God knows where you are. He knows where you're from. He knows where you're going. He knows who you are and what you're all about. You can fool everyone, but you can never fool God. Ever. Ever. And Jonah decides he's going to run. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy just for a minute. I want to share with you. So he's a prophet. So there's some guidelines about prophets. There's some guidelines. We're not going to read them all because we just don't have time. But I want to share a little bit about the danger that actually Jonah has put himself into. Okay? And Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is a piece. This is only just a small piece. There's other parts to it before and after. But like I said, I don't have time to read it all. But in verse 19, he's talking about bringing in a prophet. God's talking about bringing a prophet. He says, I will hold accountable whoever does not listen to my words that he speaks in my name. But the prophet who presumes to speak a message in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die. Basically, he's talking about prophet who isn't going to do what God's called them to do, or decides to do what they want to do, or going to speak for a god or an idol or those kind of things and gets out of line. The scripture says that prophet could die. That's a pretty big piece. Yeah, that's a pretty big piece. Jonah is running from God. Now here's the thing. Right now we think he's running because he's afraid of the Ninevites. We're going to get to that. He's not afraid. I don't think he's afraid of them. I think he's more afraid of God. But he also had put himself in this dangerous position. So he's in the bottom of this. He's in the bottom of this. The ship. And this storm begins to rise. Here's what we look at in verse 4. But the Lord drew a great wind. He threw a great wind into the sea, and such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. Could you imagine that the gods, could you imagine a storm happens and it's all because of you? It's all because of you and not what you are doing that God's called you to do. Now, nobody else is going to know that, but the person who's a part of that, God's going to convict them, and they're going to know that. And so here it is. The storm's raising, and then they end up, these sailors go down, they get him up, but anyway, they're all of a sudden, what God do you worship? And he says, hey, it's all my fault. He already knew. He already knew. Because when you run from God, you run away. There's a conviction that God puts upon you. There's a conviction. They ended up throwing him over. Over the ship rails. The sea calms. They worship God. And then all of a sudden, it says in verse 17, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. This is not what he had planned. Because I'm going to tell you, when you run from God, your plans never work. It'll never work. This is why some of us keep doing the same thing over and over. We know what God has for us, but we just keep doing our own thing. And we keep coming back to square one. We come back to starting. We never can finish it because we don't even really leap. We just keep coming back. We just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Plans outside of God as a believer, plans outside of God will not work, because once you give your life to God, God puts a plan and vision and plans in your life. And when you want to do your own thing without God, it will not work. I promise you, it will not work. But Christians are still doing it. I want God in my life, but I want my life. When you can finally get to the place where you say, listen, I want God in my life, and my life belongs to God. I'm going to live my life for God. I'm going to live it the way God wants. I'm going to do what God wants. Listen, that's the only way it works, folks. That's the only way it works. It's the only way it works. And here it is. Jonah is in a place he shouldn't be. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians today that are in places they shouldn't be. Because they ran and chose to run away. They're in a place they should not be. And here he is. He's in the bottom of this well, and there's the whole thing about his prayer piece and all this, and he repents in there and all that stuff that goes on. There's a lot that is going on. There's a lot that's going on. No one can hide from God. But is this story really about Jonah being... Is Jonah really afraid of the Ninevites, how wicked and evil they are? No, he's not. I think it's something more. And Scripture will tell us why. Scripture's going to tell us why, and why he was so upset and why he ran away. Because here's the thing. So many of us know what God can do with our lives, and we choose not to go there because we don't want to do that. We don't want to give up what it costs to do that. And I'll take you right back where we were before. When you give your life to Christ, you give yourself to Christ. Not only is He a part of your life, He is all of your life. You want Jesus in your life? He's going to run your life. So He's not going to just save you for that moment. He's going to save you for eternity. And an eternity, that everlasting life, is that your life now belongs to His. And I'm just saying, God knows how to do life better than you do. God knows how to take care of our life better than we do. But here's the thing. It wasn't because of Jonah was afraid of the Ninevites as evil. Because these people would also take their enemies and they would cut their ears and their noses off many times. They were a vile group of people. And you think that Jonah was afraid to go into the town? I don't think he was. I don't think he was. So what happens is Jonah comes into Nineveh. He comes through. He goes in. Takes 4 days to walk across this whole city. And he says, 40 days, this place is going to be destroyed. Repent, turn to the Lord. Repent, repent. He's shouting it out. And the king declares a fast, and all the people do a fast. And then all of a sudden, everything started to change. What? Everything started to change. And it says, and God saw their actions, and they did, and that they had turned from their evil ways. So God relented from the disaster He had threatened with them, and God did not do it. And you think the story would end in a good way, right? But here's what we're going to hear from what we're going to hear this piece in chapter 4. This is what this book really is all about. The main key, one of the key pieces, is about running, but this is really the biggest piece. Here it is in chapter 4, verse 1. Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. Now, furious, he's angry. He's angry now. Okay? Now, remember, this guy was in the belly of a fish. go back and read the prayer piece. He's very like, oh, Lord, save me and all this. And God, I'm going to fulfill what you called me to do. And then he does it. But now he's becoming displeased and he's angry. Why? He says he prayed to the Lord. Lord, he said, please, Lord, isn't this what I thought while I was still in my own country? So he's going back to the past before he even ran away. He is saying, I thought while I was still in my own country, before he ran away, this is what he was thinking. That's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. Here it is. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. What? You know, some people in church, when they get saved, some people don't even care. They don't care. People get baptized, people don't care. Was that fake? Was that salvation fake? I bet it was fake. Listen, God doesn't want to hear your negativity ever. Look at me. God does not want to hear your negativity ever. He judges, and he'll judge rightfully and righteously. It's what people do. Let God work that out. Your negativity, all it does, and our negativity, all it does is bring spirit down. It just brings people down. It hinders. But he says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. What Jonah is saying is, you're too compassionate. I knew before I even left that this place was going to change. And if they were going to change, you wouldn't destroy them. As evil as they are, isn't it funny how hard we can be on others and not ourselves? How we can be up hard on other people in other countries, but not be hard on our own country? Yeah. Yeah. And Jonah is a prime example. He's a man of God. He's a prophet. God speaks to him and tells him to do certain things. He does it, but this one he chose to run away. But this story really is about the compassion of God. How many of you all have been recipients of God's compassion? How many of you all have been recipients of God's compassion? Yes, at day one, at salvation, you know that God's compassion just wrapped all around you. And it still flows if you allow him to do that. But here's the thing with this compassion. I want to share with you how this compassion is wrapped all the way around in this book. First of all, we see Jonah running away from God. We just read the piece in Deuteronomy that says, you know what? That prophet doesn't do what he's called to do. He can die. It says put him to death. God chose to say, you know what? I'm going to give him another shot. God provides the opportunity for another opportunity. He provides another opportunity, but he allows him to sit someplace where he can't run. He puts him in this belly of this great fish. And he allows him to be in there. The scripture says that he has seaweed, he had all those things wrapped around. It's a place for you to think. It's for you, for him to sit there, and let's think about what you just did. Kind of like putting children in time out. You can't go anywhere. And so here it is. God puts him in time out for 3 days and 3 nights. Here he is. He's over here. Now think about what you just did. And I'm sure he's thinking about, wow, I know that law about Deuteronomy. I didn't do this. It could cost me my life. It could cost me my entire life. But chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. After 3 days, and he repented, God allowed that fish to vomit him out. And the very next scripture says that God spoke to him a second time. You know what that is? Jonah got a second chance. Yeah. God's compassion is on his own people. God gives compassion to you and I who are believers. Still gives compassion. Jonah needs to be reminded that the compassion that God gave him. Needed to be reminded that God gave him a second chance. But not only was he the only one that got a second chance, but the people in Nineveh got a second chance. God's compassion. These people repented. And they did this whole thing of fasting. And they did those things. Now, they weren't in the bottom of a well, but they had to stop doing what they were doing. So they weren't in the bottom of this fish. They were out living. So they had to stop doing the evil things that they were doing. And they gave attention away from those things and gave attention to God. And when they gave attention to God, God saw that they turned from their ways. And God had compassion on them. And He relented. He didn't destroy them. They too could have been just like Sodom and Gomorrah, and God could have just destroyed them. But God gave them a second chance. God gave them a second chance. God's compassion was flowing through the book of Jonah. But not only just Jonah, and not only just the people of the Ninevites, but there were some sailors on a boat. That this ship was ready to go down. They were lost. They weren't godly people. God was using them in this ship. He was using them. They were a part of it. They were there. And they knew that they were going to die. They were going to tip over. It's going to sink. Whatever it may be. Scripture says they were in great fear. And He said, "What God do you worship? Call out on the God you worship." They believed in gods, but they didn't believe in the God. There's a big difference. What God, and Jonah begins to share with them. And then these people who don't know God, says in verse 14, so they called out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life, and don't charge us with the innocent blood. For you, Lord, have done just as you pleased." And then they picked Jonah up and threw him over. And then they made vows before God. People say, "Well, what if those vows weren't real?" That's between them and God. Once again, we think, "Oh, I bet they didn't keep those vows. I bet the adulterous woman who walked away after she was caught having an adulterous affair, or the woman at the well, I bet they walked away and didn't do anything after that." Let me tell you, we are not supposed to think like that. We're supposed to be thinking that we serve a God who does miracles and changes lives. And so here we even see these sailors. We see these sailors were also saved from the storm. God gave them compassion because once Jonah was in the water, the storm subsided. And the ship did not turn over. The ship did not sink. But they began to sacrifice to the Lord. And they made vows to the Lord. What we're seeing is three groups of people here that have decided to do things their own way. When God intervened in their life, it messed their lives all up. But what they found out, that they all needed God in their life, and that they all needed God's compassion in their life. And so Jonah is struggling with the idea that others can get the same compassion that his people can get. And we need to remember that God's compassion is for everyone. They all got a second chance. Jonah, the sailors, the people of Nineveh. They all got a second chance. They had all repented. And they had received, all of them had received God's compassion. This story is about God's compassion on believers and non-believers, and people are just in the middle of it. God knows where everyone is at all times. He knows if you're thinking about running away. He knows what you're thinking. He knows why you don't want to do something He's called you to. He knows that. And He knows that you can't do it on your own. That He will supply you with all that you need. He'll lift you up. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. You have to do and figure out, how do I do it when I want to run away? I want to tell you, it takes faith. You got to trust in God. You got to have faith in God. You got to move toward Him, not away from Him. Too many people are running away from God instead of running toward God. And we need to figure that out, because when you run from God, it leads to disaster. When you run away from God, it leads to disaster. And all along, no one wants you in the right place more than God does. As much as you think you know the better place, God has already designed a place for you. How many of you all said, "I bought this house and God just blessed me with this house"? You prayed over the house. You walked around as men, spiritual leaders of your house. You walked around your house. You walked through your house. You asked God to bless your house. You asked God to bless your property and your family and all those things. We want the things that God has to offer us. But we have a hard time when God says, I want you to offer yourself and step forward. Tarshish, the road to Tarshish is busy. It's busy. It's still busy today. It's still busy today. People are running from God. People are running from God. And they're running to a place that's not going to help them. You're going to go to a place that you're not familiar with. And if you're familiar with it, usually if you're familiar with it, it's a place that you know that you shouldn't be. So what do we get out of this whole piece? What do we get out of this whole piece in this book of Jonah? God is the God of another chance. Nobody's going to root for you more than God. God is your biggest fan. How are you performing before God? How are you living your life before God? Hebrews tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching all the time. Listen, we are not in the dark like we think. We cannot run from God. We cannot hide from God. God sees us, knows us, everything about us. He knows everything. Let's not be foolish enough to think that we can run from God. If God's been telling you, the Holy Spirit's been speaking on you to do something, whatever it may be, whether it's you've been holding back forgiveness to someone, the Holy Spirit speaking to you about forgiving someone, we are called to forgive them, and you need to do what God's called you to do. What amazes me is when God gets in our world real close. We love it when we can sing and worship, and we love it when we can hear and study. We love the things of God, but when God gets close, we get nervous. When God gets real close to us, we get nervous real quick. And I don't know. I know some of us are like that because there's always, He gets nervous. When we get nervous, God's coming to us. It's not that He's just coming to sit. He's coming to tell you something. He's coming to speak something into your life. But I want to promise you that, I promise you, it's always for your good, your own good. Even if He comes to chastise. Jonah begins with this: the word of the Lord came. Verse 4 says, but the Lord threw. It didn't have to be that way. But when the Lord comes, we got to listen. And we got to move forward. And we got to step out. We got to do what God's called us to do. We need to be the men and women that God's called us to be. And we need to be strong in it. And sometimes God does ask us to do hard things. But I will tell you, this is why I feel like I don't hear a lot of testimony as much as I used to, because men and women are not stepping out doing what God's called them to do. Whether that's sharing the gospel. Do you know He walked around many days? He walked around sharing this and said, hey, repent, 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 repent. They listened. This is a perfect story that people will listen when you share the gospel. People do listen when they share the gospel. When you share the gospel, people do listen. I'm telling you, I need to hear a new fresh testimony from somebody. In my life, I need someone to tell me something that God is doing, because I don't hear enough here. I don't hear enough that people tell me what God is doing in their life and what God has moved away from them out of their life, what obstacles God has moved away, what obstacles God has crushed, what obstacles God had put a person and moved them right over the top of it. It makes no sense, but God did. I'm telling you, because we serve a living God. And if this place is going to do ministry, there needs to be testimony. When there's not testimony, after a while, I'm like, Lord, what are we doing wrong? Because we know that God is a God of action. And I'm expecting God to do things. So here's what I think sometimes happens. We as a church, we as believers, sometimes we can all show up. But it's not that we are running from God in our physical sense. But spiritually, we are walking away from God. Or we are drifting away from God. Just drifting. Just slowly drifting. And the slower, just the longer you drift, the further it is. And all along, we're going to church. But we're drifting. We're drifting. This is what's drifting right here. And then you start to think, oh, I know of him, but I don't know him like I used to know him. That's when you know that you're not as close to him as you used to be. I think there's a lot of Jonahs in the Christian world today. Good, godly people. But when something come up, they were like, that's too much. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm done. And I'm going to remind you, as a believer, you're not done until he tells you you're done. You can say you're done all the time. You can say you're done. But he remembers vows. And when you came to Christ, you gave him your life. As he gave his life for you, you gave your life to him. May not totally understand it at the time, but you get the grasp of it. And when we say, I'm done, and I'm going to run away, you can say you're done all you want. But God says, we're not done. Because if God was done, he would have said, Jonah, you go on and do your own thing. We're done. Nope. God just didn't meet him on the road. He didn't meet him in the boat. God was also in the belly of that fish. And God still wasn't done. Jonah thought he was done. But God's not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. So quit running away and turn around and be like the prodigal son and run back to God. And God will have his arms out and he will hold you and he will get you on the right path. We got to stop running. Because next thing I want to, you're going to be running, and I don't look to your right or to your left, because you're going to see somebody else you know. And when you follow people, you're always heading in the wrong direction. Because we're supposed to follow God. Amen. Father, Lord, as we move into this part of our service, Lord, we know today that there are some that are running, Lord. Even as children, when we were young or teenagers, we wanted to run away and run away from home, Lord. Today, there are some of us that are running already. We are here physically, but some of us have run away and ran away spiritually. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would do as you did with Jonah, the sailors, and the people in Nineveh. Give us another chance to get ourselves right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take